Good morning. Welcome to another edition of the Sunday Rise presented by the Sideline Junkies and Clear Production Sports. I'm the boss, BJ. I got the Midnight Rider with me at the down right here. And the host of the show, the big guy, KG. Good morning, gentlemen. How y'all doing?
What's going on, man? Dandy. Was that cut short?
No.
It's like it was cut short, man. Like, I didn't even get to my... Well, it's all good.
Hey. We also joined by Piccolo this morning. Overseer of the show.
Everybody needs a best friend that'll take a beating until you get there. Everybody needs that best friend. So, Piccolo, welcome to the show.
Oh, man.
Hey, you know what we're doing. If you don't know what we're doing, it is Sunday Rise on the clock. Picks NFL draft picks 28 through 25. And we got a special team today, and we'll get to that in a second. But, gentlemen, it is time. It is time to dive back into the NFL draft and evaluating these teams. Y'all ready?
Yes, sir.
I guess we just got to dive on into this. Big guy, you want to take it over?
At pick 28, the Buffalo Bills are now on the clock.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to try to keep this short and sweet. Where are we at? I thought I sent that.
You did.
Okay.
No. First, so the one for the Cardinals doesn't have their needs. It just has the team. So we can just get that real quick.
I sent it to you.
Okay. Cool.
Matter of fact, I need to send it to KG too. All right. Man, where do I start? The Buffalo Bills. Look, hey, I think this team, and I'll try not to get too runny at the mouth, but I think this team has squandered two opportunities in the last 4 years at a Super Bowl run. The one is the 2022 divisional overtime thriller in Kansas City. And I think this previous year where they stormed back and won the AFC East and lost to Kansas City at home, I think those were their two kind of their windows to make their run, and it didn't happen. In this time period, I think over the last 3 or 4 years, they're in the top five of teams that have spent, I think they spent a total of $1.3 billion on salary. They put the chips on the table all in, and they failed. I think Cincinnati's up there. Baltimore's up there. I can't remember the other up a couple teams, but this shows you that, you know, one thing you can't complain about if you're a Bills fan is them trying to put the pieces together with 17 under the helm. So with that being said, you know, they had a slew of releases and two of the biggest names. One of the biggest names released was Jordan Poyer, strong safety that's been with the team since 2017. And then you have Micah Hyde not being re-signed. He's also been with the team since 2017. Before I get into the needs, I just want to – it's a slew of guys and you know, them two, Josh, them getting Diggs and next year for Josh. It's just like as a Bills fan, you want to say thank you because they helped turn a laughingstock organization around to a perennial AFC contender and one of the top teams in the AFC, somebody that you have to talk about every year, regardless if you're tired of talking about them or not. They have to be in the conversation as long as Josh Allen is on the center. And you got to say thank you to those guys. Y'all know I talk about 20 years of purgatory in the AFC watching Tom Brady win Super Bowl after Super Bowl after Super Bowl, and this team lay at the doormat, you know, sprinkling roses on the floor for him to get to the Super Bowl. So, you know, a special thank you, Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer, Mitch Morse, Tre'Davious White got released, which is heartbreaking as a Bills fan because he had the ACL tear 1 year, then he tore his Achilles last year. And we're talking about, you know, we always talk about what ifs on this show. That guy, he was on his way. All pro, pro bowler. He was special. And I'm not saying it was. I hope he come back fully and land somewhere, even if it's back with Buffalo at a lower price. You know, we've seen some of that where teams have released players and come back and re-signed them. The kid in Baltimore, we talked about him on the last show, the defensive tackle, which I'm not going to butcher his name, just signed a huge deal with Baltimore to re-sign. But to get in the nitty-gritty and let these guys also speak, Gabe Davis is another big name that's going to be gone. Here are my question marks. 2 years ago, you drafted a kid, I believe he's from Florida, and this is Kair Elam. He has to get on the field this year. Your first round pick right now, that grade is an E. He shows flashes. He showed a couple flashes last year. I think he dealt with some injuries last year, the year before he was in the doghouse for some reason. But your first round pick has to get on the field. You went to Green Bay to get a cornerback in Douglas, which is a fine pickup. Just signed Taylor Rapp to an extension. So you got one piece of the secondary. And I said this on the last show. Without getting into too much detail, they drafted Dalton Kincaid at tight end with this year's pick. You can't go offense again. The two times I'm talking about this team had Super Bowl opportunities, their defense let them down slow in the casket. Not Josh Allen. Okay. I got that for Josh Allen. This Pat previous year. 26 for 39, 186 in a touchdown, 12 carries, 72 yards, and two touchdowns. This previous, the 27-24 loss to the Chiefs. The division around 2022, 27 for 37, 329 yards, four touchdowns, 11 carries on the ground, 68 yards. What more do you want that man to do? What more do you want that man to do? In 2022, I remember Matt Milano looking over his shoulder for the game-winning Travis Kelce touchdown in overtime. This previous one, I just remember a defense that couldn't touch Patrick Mahomes and just could not get off the field. They couldn't get a stop if they were looking on the sideline and their family was in jeopardy. They couldn't get off the field. The Bills have to – I don't know what Brandon Bean is cooking up. I love Brandon Bean. I trust Brandon Bean. The Bills are also still in cap purgatory at – I give you the updated number, $14,879,047. So they still got some work to do as far as cap. And I think you might see another cap casualty. I think he's probably reaching out to some guys to see what they can do as far as restructuring. I know Tre'Davious White gives another $10 million back, but I don't think that's until June 1st. So they got some more work to do. They went and got Mitchell Trubisky back to back up Josh Allen. And they have a slew of defensive linemen. And this is where I'm going to need to the Midnight Rider to jump in. I think that it doesn't have to be a far jump, but I think the Bills have to jump up and grab one of those top three edge guys. And I had the name, the guy from UCLA.
Latau.
I think if you can jump up and get him, because Dallas Turner and Verse are probably going to be too high up. It depends, because when I say these defensive line issues, you have a guy like A.J. Espinosa. You have guys in there. But if you go draft, you have to let somebody walk because that guy has to start day one.
Well, I think with your all the sub packages that teams run, you don't have to really make him a day one starter per se. He's going to play enough and be on the field enough. I think I actually think somewhat differently on this because the Bills are in that honeycomb suite. These next four picks, or actually these last eight picks that we're going to be talking about, or we've talked about coming over these two shows, we're in that area where a team that maybe a quarterback that they like has fallen and is starting to fall. This is a spot where somebody tries to come back into the draft and get that quarterback on like on a 5-year deal, so they don't have to worry about only having 4 years to evaluate them. So this is where we're looking at if a Penix drops, if a Nix drops, even if JJ McCarthy's, God will, I mean, I don't know how he's climbing up draft boards, but he is. And I think he's getting the Brock Purdy effect. But somebody like that dropping this part of the draft, this is where that comes into play. And maybe Buffalo takes a step back, picks up some extra picks, maybe picks up a one for next year. And next year you have two ones going into that draft. So that's where I think we could be. But because we don't do any trades on this draft and we take everything at face value, I'm ready whenever you guys are. I got a couple of defensive guys. I got an offensive guy. I know the boss man didn't want that addressed, but I think with Gabe Davis being a free agent, you kind of have to address the wide receiver position. And it just depends on where they are on your board. But there's going to be some receivers available in this situation as well.
And I agree with you absolutely. But I think what we saw from Dalton Kincaid shows you that he can be a serious weapon. So then you bring out Diggs, Kincaid. Don't forget, you still have Knox. Kincaid, Knox. And then you got to see if Shakir is a real deal. He really kind of flourished the last half of the season, picking up some catches and some yards. So do you address, like I said, the two times that you put the chips all on the table, the two things that failed you, the one thing that failed you is your defense. And I said last week, this team needs a playmaker. They need a hero. Johnny Five. I need a hero. Johnny Five smoking, belts coming off, everything. They need a hero. Nobody, Douglas did some good things this year, getting that ball back on defense. You get Von Miller back. And the reason why I was saying the guy would have to play day one because of the cap space. They have to make some more. It's going to be some casualties. As far as it's a lot. I had it up, of course, but it's a lot of guys sitting on that Buffalo defensive line. Puna Ford, Daquan Jones, Leonard Floyd. It's a lot of guys that are on the, you know, not re-signed. And like I said, Buffalo is $14 million in the hole. So they already restructured Vaughn. So I think if you do get a defensive guy, especially on that line, like you have to cut a loss somewhere and then kind of draft. And Sean McDermott, I don't have the exact quote, but he was basically saying it's time for the young players to kind of step up and show what they got. And I think that's where Buffalo is. This is an on-the-bill refly. I don't expect them to win the East next year. We've seen Miami collapse over and over again. But don't forget, you get Aaron Rodgers back for the Jets next year. So, their team is stacked. But Midnight Rider, can I hear some of the names of what you're thinking as far as with the Bills, what you think the Bills might do at 28?
Yeah, definitely. So I'll do it this way because I'll take each one of your needs and try to give you a player for that need that would be available in that spot. So KG, if you want to hit the music. You're on mute.
We do not own the rights to any music.
All right, so B, we talked last week, or you told me to send you some safeties. Last week, I sent you the kid from Miami. I think his name is Cameron Kitchens. He would be a ideal person in space, but some of the mocks I've looked at lately has him dropping into the second round. So he may not be ideal for the spot. The name I thought of all morning while we were preparing for this is the kid Byron Murphy from The University of Texas. He's the other D tackle. He's the more, he's the pass rusher that's more, I'm sorry, he's the D tackle that's more of a pass rusher than the other guy, but he is a good run stopper. So he's another person I would see in the mix for you guys. In terms of edge, you're probably getting, you're in that, we said his name last week, the Chop Robinson area of this draft, where you're on like the third or fourth defensive end in the groups. Let's see. Another name you might think of is the kid from Illinois, Johnny Newton. He's a D tackle as well. So that's kind of where I can see y'all going. Wide receiver wise, I'm looking at Charles Davis's mock right now. He's mocked y'all Adonai Mitchell, Texas wide receiver, transferred in from Georgia. And then another place, you guys, based off of Gabe Davis, I can see you guys as a place for a kid like Kenyon Coleman, the wide receiver from Florida State. Just another person, tall guy, that allows you to push Shakir back into the slot, where I think he's more fit for the slot than anything else. So I think with him being in the slot, being able to operate, and then you have the Kincaid and Knox of the world, the middle of the field is someplace that you can attack, and then you can get over the top with Coleman and Diggs and do your thing on the outside. So that's kind of where I see Buffalo going in this scenario. Is there another need on there? I forgot.
Nah, that's you know, this, you know.
Oh, and cornerback. So in terms of corners, you're in the range of the Kool-Aid McKinstry's. You might even be in the range of Cooper DeJean, depending on what team see him as. You could have your first white corner in the NFL since Jason Sehorn actually starting. Or I've seen him projected as a safety. So it's going to be interesting to see where he falls in this mix, too. I didn't see him run last weekend. I need to go back and check the tape out. But if he ran well, he might be able to stay outside.
I didn't address that. The Bills have one of the better nickelbacks in the league in Teron Johnson. Then they have Butler from what you call him. And then that's why I was saying Elam. Elam has to get on the field. The Dane Jacksons, the Christian Benefits, that has to be over. I think one of the flaws in the McDermott being are they a little bit too friendly?
Loyal.
They're a little bit too loyal. I thought Jackson and Benefit should have been cut. Like, you know, the thing that stands out to me with those guys, I can't remember if it was Benefit or Dane Jackson, the Justin Jefferson leap over the world catching Buffalo. That was over them. And they get on the field and they get cooked. And there's nothing personal. But we're talking about business. We're talking about putting a team on the field that competes. And these guys can't get it done. So they have to, I think I saw Dane Jackson on that list. I can't remember if Benford was on that list or not. Benford, but you know, cornerback. Say it again.
I was gonna say every team has those corners that end up on the roster that we don't like. They always find their way on the field because of injuries.
Injuries. Yep.
And you would love for them not to be there, but they're also just one of those guys that they just always show up. They always play. It's almost, I mean, KG, I know this name, and you probably know this name. Reed Dowdy in Washington was a guy that I think every year Redskins fans tried to cut in the preseason, but he just stayed around. And we always wondered who he had pictures of. you know, and what was he doing with it? Like, who was he threatening? Because he would always make the roster, and probably by week four, he was always on the field. Not playing special teams, but playing safety.
But do you know why? KG. Why? Reed Dowdy had a nose for the box. He was just he had more heart.
He had a nose for the what?
He had a nose for the box.
Oh, okay.
He couldn't play free, but if you played him in the box as strong, he could make the tackles. He was just undersized.
Is this the Clinton Porters? He's a great pass blocker.
No.
Averaging 2.3 yards a carry.
No.
Is this that comparison?
No.
Okay.
Reed Dowdy made a few good plays during his time here. He was an underdog, and I love underdogs. But he played the safety position the way it's supposed to be played. But when they put him at free safety, that's where the problem lies. Because if you – he could cover, but if you had somebody like an Andre Johnson who mossed him in a game against the Texans, yeah, he should have never been back there. But you got somebody like LaRon Landry who can't play either position, what you going to do?
I never thought I'd walk into a place and hear this much Reed Dowdy love in one second.
You open the door. You open the door.
You gotta understand. Like
it was six feet of snow at your door. Leaning the door, you like, what's that? You open it and you just got pummeled.
Exactly.
Like, see, we didn't know each other then. But back then, I was big on Reed Dowdy, and I was like, keep him in the box. Keep him in a box. That's all you do. Keep him in a box. Let him sniff around and make tackles.
I've spent 21 minutes on Buffalo, and I appreciate everybody listening to me vent about my Buffalo Bills. But I think you're looking at possibly another wild card. I don't think they win the East this year. I think this is an on-the-fly rebuild. I think the key piece is Elam. If Elam could come on the field and be a first-round pick and give you something that helps, if you get Von Miller back and Von Miller can get back to the 80% Von Miller, you have something. If Ed Oliver can just actually show up to the game sometime, I know his stats say he's doing this and doing that, but it's just like, when? Where was I when he did it? So I'm not worried about offensively. I just not, because as much as I love Gabe Davis, the production wasn't there. So it's just like, what are you missing when he leaves? Whatever you get in that position, it has to be a plus. It has to be. If you're going zero for zero for zero at times, whatever you get in that number two slot, give me Breshad Perryman. Give me – that has to be a plus. But thank you for listening. And I know we got to move on because I ate up a whole bunch of time. I mean, big guy, unless you got something to add.
The one good thing about this draft is it's deep at wide receiver. So you don't have to take the wide receiver here in this spot that we're talking about, the 28. You can adjust it in the next round or the next two rounds somewhere later on. So it depends. To me, this pick and where you land, I think you go D tackle, to be honest with you. Get another person to go beside Oliver, and you try to put pressure up the middle, because your biggest adversary is Aaron Rodgers, Tua Tagovailoa. You're playing Patrick Mahomes every year at some point in time. So I think if you can make the middle of the defense a place where we quarterbacks can't set their feet and have to move off of their spot, I think that becomes a big plus for you. So that's why I think, it's more of a Byron Murphy, Johnny Newton situation than anybody else at that spot.
Sounds good.
All right. Pick number 27, the Arizona Cardinals. You are now on the clock. Now, Arizona's needs are way different. They acquired this pick from the Houston Texans. And I don't want to say that, this is good for Arizona, because they need to be picking way higher than what they are. But their needs.
Well, they still have their fourth.
Okay.
So they got the four. They got two picks, unless they, do some trading or something.
Okay.
Let's go ahead and run the league, B. Let's go with it. Because this is a spot where I see Arizona taking 4-27 possibly, sending it to Washington. So that way they get in front of New England, because you don't know what New England's going to do. And you assure yourself a wide receiver like Marvin Harrison Jr. And then this becomes the Commanders on the clock at 27, not them. So that's the one trade scenario I see possible. I've played this one out. I think Commander fans will like it, because at four, you still get the QB you want. But, I think this is a great option for them.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, KG.
It sounds good. KG Fireway, what you think here for Arizona? Do you agree with the Midnight Rider, or are you rolling the dice seeing if Marvin Harrison Jr. is there at four and then picking at 27 to address another need?
Let me see. Who's picking at three? New England's picking at three. New England's not picking a wide receiver at three. Marvin Harrison Jr. will be there at four. So there's no need. New England has a bigger problem. Breaking news before we started this morning, they're finalizing a deal to send Mac Jones to the Jacksonville Jaguars. So they need a quarterback. You can't pick a wide receiver and you don't have anybody to throw him the ball. So I think, in my honest professional opinion, Arizona stands pat. Number four, if they want to go after a wide receiver here, this is unconventional. I really, really think they need to move on from Kyler Murray. I know it's easier said than done, but I don't think homeboy fits out there. And I'm just being honest. No shade against him. I think he needs a change of scenery to get back to doing Kyler things. But their biggest needs are wide receiver, defensive tackle, inside offensive line, edge, and quarterback. Cornerback, I'm sorry. Really, really and truly, if you go out, you get Marvin Harrison Jr. with the fourth pick, with that 27th pick, you get possibly the best O-lineman on the board and worry about everything else later in the draft. That's just me.
Here's where it's interesting at. You still don't, and you know, this is draft time. We know that, you know, a lot of news gets leaked to kind of steer people one way, so they're going the other way. So, you know, you got a lot of smoke screens. We know at three, New England needs a quarterback. That's locked tight. They need a quarterback. You don't know what Chicago's going to do. Because, you know, everybody wants Justin Fields. I'm not saying Chicago's incompetent, but if you were going to trade Justin Fields and you see how much interest it is in him, and everybody says the same thing about his situation, hey, if you get him a real weapon, you know, could we see the Bears move back and be like, hey, we're going to keep Justin Fields. We'll let New England get three, and we'll go get Marvin Harrison Jr. You know, it's Marvin Harrison Jr. with Justin Fields. They go get some more picks, or maybe they swap with Arizona and get the 27th, then they address wide receiver and offensive line. You know, it's a couple of scenarios there. So if I'm Arizona, I'm in a good place. You have to just decide. I understand what the big guy KG is saying, but I think Kyler Murray is their future. I don't think they're deviating from that. I think that they feel like when he was healthy and they had that team together, that team was rolling. So you have to replace. You have to get a big time receiver. Do you address the offensive line? You know, I think they were middle of the pack as far as sacks allowed. I don't think they were at the top. So. And something I said about Josh Allen on the last show, if you're a GM, you're hoping that Kyler Murray's legs can avoid some sacks. Maybe you don't get an A-plus guy. Maybe you go get the C-plus guy that has strength certain places, you know, and hoping Kyler can move. So if I'm Arizona, unless Chicago's talking or New England want to swap, I think you could get Marvin Harrison there at four, and then you still probably could trade the 27th pick because, like the Midnight Rider keeps saying, this thing's loaded in the first round. Depends on what your needs are in the back end. Somebody's going to fall. Happens every draft. Somebody's going to fall, and then the team's going to be drooling at 24th, 26th pick and be like, hey, such is on the board still, and you're already on the phone with the Cardinals, and you didn't trade it out, and so that becomes a valuable position. I think the Cardinals are in a really good spot, whatever they do.
Both places.
You could swap with New England and hold them for a king's ransom and get a whole bunch of picks there, or 27.
You keep going up the board, B. You got, think about it. We got quarterback needy teams at 10, which is, I think, Denver, 12, which is the Vegas Raiders. It's nothing for them. Maybe 8. I think the Giants are either like 7 or 8 in that first round.
The Giants.
Another team that can just jump up, and now Arizona moves back. Arizona's in a catbird seat either way, and they lucked out in this deal with Houston where they got Houston's first. Unfortunately, Houston just had a better season than people projected, and this pick falls at 27, where probably you were thinking, you know, when the trade was happening, that this pick would be somewhere in the top 15. So that's where you lucked out at. But because you have both your picks, you have options both places, either move down, move up, do whatever, and get who you want. And I think that's the key. And I think sometimes, like, we as fans don't think about it. You got to get who you want at the optimum place. Like, you can't let that person fall to you. Sometimes you got to go get it because that's the way you guarantee it. So perfect example for me is the Giants taking Daniel Jones at 6. Like, I think they had to do that because that's their guy. If he's your guy, you got to get him. Because otherwise, you're playing a guessing game. And I think teams played the guessing game last year. And that's how the Gonzalez kid falls to New England at 17 or 16 right after Washington takes Emmanuel Forbes. You know, you get things like that to happen. So that's kind of my long-winded way to get to where I think Arizona addresses either DB or O-line in this spot. According to our guy, Charles Davis, he puts Kool-Aid. We're going to talk about Kool-Aid a lot. But he puts Kool-Aid McKinstry here. Another person I could see here is the kid from Toledo, Quinyon Mitchell, cornerback. Ran a really good 40 over the weekend at the combine. I see some boards have him higher in the early 20s. But he's a guy that if he falls through the cracks, because we're going to have a run on receivers, quarterbacks, and offensive linemen. So you're going to have to get ready because they're going to happen in bunches. And that's when the trades happen. Another person I look for in Arizona is the kid out of Duke, Graham Barton. He's a Swiss Army knife. Because of the draft process, he plays from left tackle to right tackle. So that's left tackle, left guard, center, right guard, right tackle. He's a person that can play any of those spots. So he could be a perfect guy. He could be, and I'll say this name, and if you remember, he played for the Giants. His name is Justin Pugh. Came out of Syracuse. He played this season. He literally came off the couch because he wasn't playing for anybody. Played in a game on Monday Night Football and then played the rest of the season. He's that type of guy. Pugh was a guy that you could put anywhere along your offensive line and get production. And I think Graham Barton is the same type of guy. And basically, you just, if you're Arizona, whatever your need becomes or whatever need you don't fill in free agency, that becomes the pick. So, music, please. No? What are we doing here? So the pick I would make for the Arizona Cardinals in this spot is Graham Barton out of Duke University, offensive lineman.
10-4. Big guy KG, you got anything to add to the Arizona Cardinals 27th pick? You're on mute.
What are we doing here this morning?
You're on mute.
The Midnight Rider took he took it and he got it, man. We can move on to the next pick. I don't want no smoke. Oh, man. Pick number 26, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You are now on the clock. For the Buccaneers, where we at? The Buccaneers, their needs are, I'm trying to pull this back up because I'm working here. They need a QB. Don't know why we're talking QB here. Wide receiver, don't know why we're talking wide receiver. Inside O-lineman, safety and edge. They did not franchise Baker Mayfield, but he still may be re-signed. They brought back Mike Evans. They locked up Antonio Winfield with a franchise contract. So, pick number 26. What you got for me, fellas?
B, you want to take this first? Because I know you.
Man, Tampa Bay. I think they go get Baker back at a reasonable deal. If they're staying at 26, man, I think this is might be one of those runs where you see a receiver go. Because I know they locked up Mike Evans. But
go ahead, say it.
You can't never have enough firepower, right? Can't never have enough firepower. So if I'm the Buccaneers, I'm going receiver here, and I'm trying to pull up my list. Midnight Roddick, jump in for a second. I have my list, and I don't know where it is.
No, you're fine. So you're in the quarterbacks of, I mean, the wide receivers of Brian Robinson Jr. from LSU. You're in the Kenyon Coleman. You're in the Adonai Mitchell. You're in with the kid Polk, I think it is, from Washington. You're in that group of receivers at this point. Let me see if I can get you anybody else that's in that group.
Baker. Baker from UCF.
Baker from UCF.
Would he be in there? That middle tier?
Nah, I think that's too soon for him.
Okay. So you say Coleman, Polk from Washington.
Yeah. Brian Thomas Jr.
Brian Thomas Jr., LSU.
Yeah. Those are the names I'm seeing mostly in that section. And actually, Polk, I see later than that. I'm sorry. I see Polk in the stuff I'm looking at has Polk in the second round. So we're talking those type of guys or somebody falls to the cracks.
Yeah, I'm looking, and this is something that Midnight Rider says all the time. You have to have a type, right? These Thomas and Coleman are 6'4". Okay? So, you know, you're going to – if that's your type of guy, and you just said it, you go get these guys, right? You go get these guys – you know, do they still have Godwin? Is Godwin locked up?
Oh man, this is beautiful listening to you talk about this. Godwin's on the roster, but he's a guy that you can always put to the slot. So that's the reason why when you're saying this, because what you're doing is you're drafting the draft comp to Mike Evans when you're talking about the kid Coleman and company that you were talking about right now. That's why I had to wipe my eyes because it's beautiful listening to because it's just like we on the same page with this. Like, yeah, that's the thought process. You get the guy that fits the mold because now if you have Mike on, say, a 2 or 3 year deal, when that deal's up, this guy is trained up and ready to go. He's your next guy. And you're not going to get, like, the one unenviable task that you have of replacing Mike Evans is it's going to be hard to be a 1,000-yard receiver every year you've been in the league, like Mike Evans has been.
Yeah.
I got to see what the stat is because I think it's like only him and like maybe Jerry Rice in that category for 10 years straight. I can't think of anybody else. I think Gary Clark failed off at like year 7 or 8 where he didn't get 1,000 yards. And KG, you can always correct me if I'm wrong on that.
The human stat machine.
Exactly.
No need for correction. It's just Jerry Rice and Mike Evans. That's why I said Mike Evans is a surefire Hall of Famer. The numbers don't lie.
I mean, they don't. I'm going receiver here. I'm going receiver here. You bring Baker Mayfield back on a friendly deal, where it gives you a little bit of flexibility, depending on what's going on. And, you know, I know we didn't put, you know, leave room for trades in it. We're just going straight up. We're just chasing it straight. But, you know, this could be something else. If we, like we said, we just talked about where somebody wants to come up and address a need in Tampa Bay. Like, we can get it's enough receivers, it's enough there, we can get what we want further back in the second round. And you know, and somebody else moves into this slot to address one of their needs. So
B, you on point today. I don't know what you got going on. you like Q-Tip and I'm Fife right now. I'm gonna play the resurrector and give the word some life. But yeah, man, this is exactly it. This is the spot where in Tampa Bay, if there's a run on offensive linemen, and Tampa Bay's not happy with, or they got a guy that's an interior lineman, but he isn't that high on their board, and they think they can get him in the second round, this is, again, what we're talking about, trade back scenario. We can go back and get something else. Me, in this spot, I think this is the leftover quarterback spot. So I think if there's a guy, because I think maybe five or six get taken in this first round, and I could be wrong, but whoever J.J. McCarthy's agent is, we need to check his bank account and trace it to Mel Kiper, because it might be the same guy that, because last year he sold us Will Levis last year. And Levis, he was one of the only guys that had Levis in the first round. Now, Levis looks like he can be a quarterback, but it's just funny how he gets these guys. But I think if I'm Tampa Bay and I want to stop playing the QB carousel, I'm drafting my number one QB in this. Or actually, he's number two, but I'm drafting Michael Penix Jr., getting some of that big Penix energy down there in Tampa Bay. And I'm taking him, and even though I bring Baker back, but now you can bring him along on that Jordan Love track, because now in the 20s, you don't have that same pressure to play him day one. You can let him sit, get comfortable, heal up. See, people always talk about him at Washington's last few years. People don't remember the Michael Penix Jr. that played at Indiana that was almost a 3,000-yard quarterback, and then he would be a difference maker the first 4 weeks of the season, 5 weeks, get hurt, and then be out the rest of the year. This kid is an impact QB. His only problem was his health. And once we got the clear medicals, I see this guy being the perfect quarterback for Tampa Bay, because they run up. He does so much pro-style stuff. And I really think he should go higher. But I'm going to give in to everybody else and let their rules play out and let them have their top guys. This is also a good spot for a Bo Nix. Like either one of those guys, two guys that played 5 years, they have a lot of experience. They have a lot of drop back. They have a lot of under center experience. And that's a big key for me in the QB evals. And I think though either one of those two guys could fit here in Tampa Bay. B, you was right on point with the wide receiver talk, because now we're talking about the same guys, the Kenyon Coleman's and those guys, as another spot. Let's go with Charles Davis. Let's see what he has. And 26, Mr. Davis, I think he has them taking the edge. Nope, yeah, I'm taking the center. Jackson Powers Johnson out of Oregon. So if they take care of the interior O-line need there, I like that as well for them. So that's another place where you can get a person that fits the need and keep moving with your program, keep things going. So you have options at this spot with Tampa. We could take the quarterback, we could take the wide receiver, we could take the interior offensive lineman. And what's their other need, B?
Let's see. Everybody needs an edge. Safety so and edge.
So edge, we're talking now, we're talking like the Chop Robinsons, the Darius Robinsons of the world. But I think Tampa has a kid out of University of Washington. I think his last name is Trice. And there's a kid on this draft board, last name Trice, that I think they can get in the second round. I think I would compare him to a Von Miller type, very explosive, off the edge, can do a little things, can drop in coverage. The word my man Mike Mayock likes to use, he's got oily hips. So those are just some options right there, I think, for Tampa in that spot.
Big guy?
Oh, man. How running back heavy is this class? Because I haven't heard anybody say that they want to take a running back
right in the first round.
I'm joking, because y'all are the two proponents that'll never take a running back in the first round.
Never.
Third round and back.
They have to be special and elite. I think last year was the one class that you had two elite running backs that we talked about heavily. We didn't go an episode without talking about Jahmyr Gibbs and Bijan Robinson.
Yes.
And Robinson, unfortunately, had a coach that somehow kept his head in his keister and didn't understand that he had to get this kid 20 touches a day, a game, I should say. And then they also have Tyson Algier, which, I don't know, for some reason he focused on him a lot. So it was weird. So that's why the Bijan Robinson play didn't hit the way it was supposed to. And then Jahmyr Gibbs, you saw him all year. Yeah. Once he got going and once he got comfortable in the offense, he was a difference maker. And next year, if you're drafting, like, in your mocks, he's probably a top five, top 10 guy in your fantasy football mocks.
Mm.
Two things, and I apologize for the previous pick for the Cardinals. I didn't read their cap number. They have available $56,632,512. So they have a couple. They have some room to also address some needs in free agency. Everything, and that gives another aura to those two picks they have. They have some flexibility to go get a couple guys that can help them right now rebuild immediately. You know, you get a weapon like Marvin Harrison Jr. and you add some things to it, you could be cooking in grease. The Tampa Bay. Yeah, go ahead.
Everybody keeps bringing up Marvin Harrison Jr.'s name. And I don't see this gap or this chasm between Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, and what's the other Washington receiver name? Romeo Odunze, something like that. So I don't see this chasm. So I don't see the need. Well, I don't see why there's this big rush on going to three or moving up to two to get Harrison, because I think either one of those two guys will be adequate in that position. So I hear the Harrison stuff, but I just don't see enough, and I didn't see enough. Maybe it was his quarterback that was holding him back. Sometimes the quarterback holds talent hostage.
So let me ask you this real quick. Is when you talk about those receivers, are you saying they're all 1A or is there 1A and 1B?
For me, if I had a draft board and they talk about how you layer out your board, my board would have Harrison, Odunze, and Nabers all on the same line. So I wouldn't have a difference. So I wouldn't have this urge to move up to get Marvin, because I think the other two guys will provide just enough or just the same amount of production going forward.
10-4.
All right. Moving right along. Pick number 26. The Green Bay Packers.
You are now. To get for this.
1 o'clock. Center of text. Because here's the question. Green Bay surprised a lot of people with the way that Jordan Love played, the way that team played. They made the playoffs and they won a playoff game. I mean, rightfully so, but I mean, you know, look who they were playing. But they won a playoff game. Their biggest needs are safety, offensive tackle, cornerback, inside offensive line, and edge. Losing David Bakhtiari is going to be a big blow. But that's just a health concern. They're talking about bringing back A.J. Dillon, so you have him, possibly Aaron Jones. But I think it's maybe time to upgrade at running back. Get Jordan Love a receiver, possibly a tight end.
That's one. Well, you're talking two spots where I don't think they need any help. They got a lot of young wide receivers that stepped up last year. I think they're set at wide receiver. They may even be set at tight end because they drafted a tight end last year. Mm-hmm. So I think they may be okay there, KG. I know where you're going with it, because they don't have the top line guy. You know what I'm saying? They don't have that guy that sticks out, and you're like, oh, you're talking about the top 10 wide receivers. It's this guy from Green Bay. It's Watson from Green Bay, or it's this kid from Green Bay, Romeo Doubs. Neither one of those guys are there, but they got some solid. They got a bunch of tubes across that wide receiver room, and that's what makes it interesting to me about them in that regard. So I don't think that's going to be an issue for them.
Real quick, the Packers are sitting at 13,628,514 as far as cap space, and that's just right now. You know, that's not including any future moves in it. That's just what they have right now. Real quick, I got to hop off. If I'm the Packers at 25, I'm addressing offensive line, because Bakhtiari has been hurt more often than none. This is a team right here, and the Midnight Rider just said, like I said, we on one accord today. They're a couple steps away from the NFC Championship. So when you're a couple steps away from the NFC Championship, now when you're in the draft room as the Packers GM, you're drooling, because it's just like you might have a specific need here and there, and I think offensive line for me is it. So do you stay here? Or is there a guy in the second round where you could dangle this 25 pick over some teams' heads that really have needs? You have your contenders that have needs. Does Buffalo want to move up to 25 and go get an edge guy? It's a couple of things. You know, the possibilities are unlimited. I'm sorry. So you're here at 25. You move back and get your guy, or do you stay here and get your guy? It just depends on, you know, how the chips fall. And we're going from bottom to top in the draft. So if I'm Green Bay, I go get Bakhtiari's replacement. Because we're talking about a guy, we're not talking about a average offensive line. We're talking about when he's healthy, he's one of the best. You got your QB of the future. You have to protect him. I would go get his replacement. So even if, you know, you cut him, and if you re-sign him at a lower deal, you get one more year out of him, you have a guy that can sit back and learn and plug and play. I got to hop off, guys. I'll be back in a second.
All right.
Here's a question for you, Midnight Rider. And I'm asking this as a Joe the fan. I'm not saying this as the big guy, KG. Consider me Joe the fan. Talk to me like I know nothing.
Okay.
I mean, you talk to me like that anyway. But anyway, talk to me like I know nothing. Left tackle used to always be the most important piece of a offense. Is it still the most important piece? Especially when you have a young QB.
I'm going to answer it this way. I'm going to say no, but I'm going to say it because you have, for every you have a Max Crosby. I'll say it like that. You have Max Crosby. You have the other Bosa kid. You have so many guys that play on the left side of the defense that goes up against your right tackle, that your right tackle and left tackle have to be equally as good almost. So it almost has taken some of the cachet off of the left tackle position, because the rushers now operate on both sides. And there's a comment from the sideline junkies that's perfect. It depends on what's in your division. Because you might have Khalil Mack on one side, and on the other side, you got Joey Bosa. So now you need both of your tackles to be dogs.
And he's that off. That's the way it was once upon a time, because if you played in the NFC East, your left tackle had to be your offensive, your best offensive lineman, because you had Lawrence Taylor coming off the left.
Right.
And that's why, you know, Lawrence Taylor is the reason why left tackles get paid so much. Exactly. So I think every left tackle that got paid a hefty sum should be paying a little bit to Lawrence Taylor and say, hey, you know, here's a case of beer on me, you know, something, because he's the reason why you get paid.
Hey, here's a kid cup. I'm sorry.
I wanted to go there, but I started laughing because I knew you was. I love LT. I would love to sit in a room with him and just talk.
You and BJ have been like, I'm gonna go with since North Carolina beat Duke last night. I'm gonna give you two Carolina guards that I can think of that were great passes, and that's like Ed Cota and Kendall Marshall. And I have a special affinity with Kendall because I didn't believe in him, because I was actually coaching basketball, high school basketball at the time. And when I saw him, I had no belief in what he was going to turn into. And when he got to Carolina, he turned into, or he became a very good point guard. And he had like a great tournament where I think he was averaging like 12 assists a game, something ridiculous. So he always gets a bump or a nod in my book. And Ed Cota just threw the greatest lobs. And it didn't hurt when you have like the best athletes on the wing catching those lobs. But yeah, that's what y'all doing today. I feel like Vince or maybe Blake Griffin, where y'all just throw the oop and I'm just catching no matter where it is and just finishing off the break.
But that's good you feel that way.
Yeah, man.
That's good. looking at this number 25 pick, is there any left tackles that I could take right now at 25 that really stand out to you and say, hey, you know, maybe not this season, but with a little bit of coaching, David Bakhtiari coaches this kid up to take his spot and then winds up, you know, moving over to the coaching staff, because you don't let a David Bakhtiari leave the organization. Once his playing days are done, you put him on the staff, because he's done his time. You make sure he's on the staff and, you know, he starts his coaching career if that's what he wants to do. But is there a guy? Is there a guy?
There's a guy. Actually, there's two guys that come to mind because we're in this spot. And again, I'm looking at, I got Charles Davis's mock-up. I'm going through, because as we do these conversations, I like to play along on Pro Football Network. They have a nice mock draft tool. I think they need to update a little bit, because I think they have a couple guys a little too late that I don't think they're going to get to places when it all comes out, when it's all said and done. So in this spot, there's a kid out of Oklahoma, Tyler Guyton. There's a kid out of Washington, Troy Faltunu, who both the tackles, I think there was questions about the Washington tackle, Faltunu's arm length. But as long as he's got the adequate arms, I think he's a guy that you can put in, plug and play, or you can plug and play Guyton. And Green Bay's done a good job, period, with their offensive linemen and being able to have an impact, because you've played a couple years without Bakhtiari playing 17. I don't remember the last time he played 17 games. So those were the two that I have as suggestions. I think Charles Davis, right in step with us, he went Troy Faltunu, and he says a smooth operator who hits moving targets in space. Many see him as a guard in NFL, but I would try him at tackle first. I believe he'll be fine at OT as the Packers decide to solidify their own line. So, yeah. We're right there in step course with everybody else.
All right. Do we go? I wanted to ask, do we go one more, or you know, we cut it off here?
If you want, I mean, it's up to you, man.
No, it's up to y'all, because hey, look, I'm free for the rest of the day. Everything that I needed to do was done. I could sit here for the next 3 hours if you want, and we can get through the whole draft if everybody got enough time.
Who's at 24?
24 is America's team, the Dallas Cowboys.
Let's go. Knock it out the box, B.
All right.
Give me a banner and give me like 2 seconds to see what their needs are, and we good.
All right. Pick number 24, the Dallas Cowboys. You are now on the clock. The Cowboys. Uh-oh. I don't have the Cowboys' needs. I don't have their needs.
Give me a second because I'm running a new mock with them as the team. So I'll get you their needs in a second. But the question, I mean, I think Dallas's needs are going to be dependent on what they do in free agency. When I say that, I mean it from the standpoint of they're probably going to need a tackle because they let go Tyron Smith unless they move the Paul kid out to tackle.
Yes, they need a center.
They need a center.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this is a spot unless there's a dynamic center. And I don't remember talking about a center off the top of my head that's in this spot. Only center I can think of, only person that people have been putting that center is the Grant Barton kid from Duke. But I don't think you take him. If you need a center, I don't think you take him to be your center for the next 10 years. I think you let a guy, you find you a special guy that everybody talks about. Like a guy last year we used to always talk about was John Michael Smith from Minnesota. That played center for the Giants. We knew he was going to be a second-round guy, but he's a center. Like, you know he's a center. A guy like the Commanders drafted, Stromberg, like, he just had the ill fate of having an injury because I think he could have been an answer to their center issues and their center woes the whole time. But that's another situation where I think the coaching staff held talent hostage. But yes. Back to the Cowboys, I'm going to say something. I know it's not going to fit in this round, but the Cowboys need to get a running back.
And oh, that's on the list.
Maybe that's this on is the list. Well, it was on our list last year. When we talked last year, the name I kept bringing up for them was Zach Charbonnet, the kid out of UCLA that got drafted last year by the Seahawks. He had a decent season. But I felt like him and Dallas would have given them, because we said it a lot every time we watched Dallas. I told you, Dallas needs a thumper. They need somebody that's make you question why you playing football, especially when you play cornerback or safety in this league, and you got to come up and tackle him. He got to make you feel it. It got to be physical. And I think that's the one thing you miss with Pollard, because Pollard didn't make anybody not want to hit him. So I know running backs on the board, running backs much later. Next round, we're talking about guys like Trey Benson. We're talking about Jonathan Brooks, those type of guys.
Let me say this to you real quick.
What?
You said something, speaking of running backs, you said something about Tony Pollard. And after you said it, I was like, God, he is right. You said in between the 20s, Tony Pollard's probably the best running back in the league. But once you get inside the red zone, Tony Pollard disappears because he's too light in the ass, is what you said.
That's exactly what I said.
And he had maybe one or two plays where he actually bowled over somebody and fell into the end zone. But Tony Pollard, I had him in fantasy, and my man was he was pounding. And I was like, all right, Tony, let's go, baby. Let's do this. And then other games, like, he would get stood up. He's also a free agent. And now you still have Deuce Vaughn. I don't know how they're going to – they didn't use him very much. But a lot of people are saying, you know, it's about time for Dak to have a seat and see what Trey Lance has. This is when I say a lot of people, I'm talking Cowboy fans. They're talking about, you know, Dak's a bum. He's nothing but – a glorified Aaron Rodgers without the ring. I've heard Cowboy fans say this about their own quarterback. And they're talking about, hey, why don't we move up and take one of these young quarterbacks so we can get something going here? Because this ain't it.
I love fan bases that have quarterbacks that are solid. And has Dak been clutch in the playoffs? No, but that whole team hasn't been clutch in the playoffs. Like, you gotta like there's a term that B. Mitch and them use. It's like the quarterback position is the most team dependent position in the league. It depends on what you have around the quarterback as to how successful the quarterback's going to be. So I say all of that to say, I think at times it might be Dak, but I think other times it's this team just not living up to the promise. I mean, Dalton Schultz on somebody's podcast this week described being a Cowboy as if you're part of a circus. He's like, you've got these things where you're working out and they're actually doing tours of the facility while the players are working out. Jerry's always going to make money. And I think Deion has a quote where he talks about Jerry Jones is one of the best owners in the league because you're always going to be in it. And he's right. Dallas has won 12 games, what, each of the last 3 years?
Yeah.
So you always got a chance.
That's not what makes Jerry Jones one of the best owners in the league. Let me rephrase that. He's one of the best owners in the league off the field, because the product on the field does not reflect what you look at it on paper. You're like, this is a solid team. This is a 12-13 win team. This is a deep playoff run. This is NFC Championship. This is possible Super Bowl. And every year it's one and done. Off the field, he sells the Cowboys as a product. He's probably the only owner that he markets the Cowboys. He takes that America's Team moniker that NFL Films gave them almost 50 years ago. And he's taken it. He's cultivated it. He's pruned it. He's done everything he can to keep holding them up here. But it's like, that's the only hype is up here. But that's the production.
It's a little bit close to that gap, but that's only they're only America's Team because Pittsburgh and the Rooneys didn't want that moniker.
And I agree.
If you go back, and I know you've seen that that episode of when NFL Films does the season recaps, Pittsburgh was called America's Team first. And then the Rooneys reached out to NFL Films and asked them not to do that again or not to put that on them. And that's the reason why the Cowboys are America's Team.
Yes.
So the Cowboys weren't America's first choice.
No.
They were the backup plan. They were the safe option.
But here's a question for you. And I know we're jumping a little off the rails, but still talking about the Cowboys. Can they still hold that moniker as America's Team? Because if you really think about it, if you think about the 60s, they were always bridesmaids, never the bride. You know, they couldn't get past the Packers. Packers were America's Team. Then you have, you know, the Chiefs always called themselves Middle America's Team. You know, they're the team of the Midwest. Of course, you got the 70s with the Steelers running everything in the 70s, Steelers and the Raiders. The 80s, the Cowboys weren't really tops. They were, you know, they're pretty much where they were now, where they are now. They were a good contender, but they weren't Super Bowl favorites. They had their run in the 90s, and then they went back to being good contenders. Can they still be called America's Team?
Yes. They're America's Team because they still, if you watch the Cowboys schedule, you're either going to get the Cowboys at 4 o'clock, you can get the Cowboys at 8 o'clock on Sunday. You can get the Cowboys Monday at 9. The Cowboys are always in prime time. They're always America's game, or they're never out of that loop. And as long as you stay in that, and as long as they're built that way, because, you know, for everything, I say it this way. Jerry Jones must have a seat at ESPN. Like he must have a phone line to the producers, because, and I'm going to say it this way, I think Stephen A has been masterful in how he's played this out, because he's built up an image off of wanting the Cowboys to fail. And every week when the Cowboys lose, what's the first thing you see on TV? You see Stephen A with a cowboy hat on or doing something, you know, he's online with an image. So it's like Stephen A. hits himself to the Cowboy wagon, and he's along for the ride. And as long as the Cowboys continue to be mediocre, not mediocre, I'm sorry, that's a terrible word. As long as they slip up and fail, because they're not mediocre. They fail. They fail in the moment. So they go 12 wins, and then they lose in week one or two of the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm going to tell you right now, as a Commanders fan, if somebody told me I could get 3 12-win seasons back to back to back, and we lose in the playoffs, sign me up, dog. Give me a scholarship. I'm here for all of it because we got a chance.
See,
no. You know, here's what it is. I always like we always say, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
That's true.
So we got a shot. We ain't had a our last shot was what 2016.
Yeah, and but see, here's the thing. So many people are happy with 10-6 or 10-7. I'm like, no. To me, a 10-win season in Washington is not. It's a winning season on paper, but it's not a winning season to me. I want 11 wins or more.
But when's the last time we won 10?
The last time we won 10 was 2016. We was 10-6.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right now, I'll take 10. And I will be outside. I'll be in the parking lot at your apartment complex in a tutu with some chili to pom-poms because we went 10-7 or whatever it was.
We go 10-7 this year. We're going to find you pom-poms in a tutu.
God damn it. I knew I shouldn't have said that.
No.
It's with me and B. Mitch. But seriously, I mean, all right, so let's go to the Cowboys.
The Cowboys. They also need a linebacker. How much longer do you go and you take on how much longer do you deal with Leighton Vander Esch, who gets hurt nearly every season?
So the problem is at 24, there isn't a linebacker. So the linebacker is gonna be a second round thing. And you're going to talk about guys like Edgerrin Cooper from Texas A&M. You want to talk about a guy like Jeremiah Trotter from Clemson. You want to talk about a kid like Peyton Wilson out of NC State. I think the most intriguing guy out of those three is Peyton Wilson, the kid out of NC State, because the comp they use for him sticks out to me. And his comp has been Luke Kuechly. And if you can get me a guy that plays ball like Luke Kuechly, sign me up twice on Sunday or whatever the saying is, 7 days a week and twice on Sunday, I think is how the saying goes. That's exactly who I'm thinking of. But that's a second round guy. That's off in the future. That's not here yet. You know what I'm saying? That's tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? Yesterday, we already did. So all we got is today. My bad.
If you wanted it, all you had to do was ask for it.
You know that. If an eagle ever sees a bird flying at the same altitude that he's flying at.
That's a different one, but that's the one I saw yesterday.
That's not the one. That's one.
That's all we got. You know what I'm talking about? The greatest opportunity in the world is found in today. You understand that? We don't even know what yesterday got for us. You know what I'm talking about? Because it's already gone. Tomorrow, too far away. What about right now? What about right now? Huh? Huh? Would you give it all up for me right now?
I got you.
Huh? Let's go then.
Yeah, and it's funny that we even talked about the needs for the Packers, because I think the Packers and the Cowboys have similar needs. You know, you want to get that offensive lineman, so we're still talking about Guyton and Fatunu or Fatunu, whatever. I'm going to have to go to my Samoan, whoever I know that has Samoan heritage and pronounce that young man's name correctly. But they're in the same boat, and I think this might be a spot where between Dallas and Green Bay, where maybe Green Bay has to jump in front of Dallas if there's a tackle or somebody they want. So that way Dallas doesn't take him before it gets to Green Bay, because you got to replace Tyron Smith. And I don't think Dallas is signing Tyron. I don't think he's coming back. I actually think Tyron has a good option or a good chance of maybe being signed here on a 1 or 2 year deal just to hold fort, because you may not be able to address left tackle in the draft. Again, this is a scenario where we're worrying about if you get a trade back at 4 and you end up at 2 and you go 4-26, then maybe you can address tackle that way. But that's just my thought process, KG, on Like, I think they have to do something free agency to address the tackle, but it's not a good tackle market. So that's the other problem they have. And the draft is better at tackles than anything else. So I see Washington as a team that might have to jump back into the first round to get a tackle late, because the run on tackles is going to happen in this section of the draft. So if I'm Dallas, I'm thinking Fatunu, I'm thinking Guyton. Do they have cornerback as a need for them? Because I know Gilmore is a free agent.
Yes.
So we're talking
about these coming back off the ACL tear.
Right. So now we're talking about guys like Cooper DeJean, the kid out of Iowa. We're talking about again, we're back at Kool-Aid, talking about Kool-Aid. We're talking about Quinyon Mitchell. So, like, we're talking about the same group of guys in these sections, and it basically becomes a thing, a process of elimination of who sits there. But I would take Dallas taking an offensive lineman in this spot. So that's just for argument's sake. Let's give them Fatino and give the Packers the other tackle, Guyton. And that's how we'll do this section of the draft.
All right.
Oh, shit. Sorry. I didn't change it back from last night. Because you started trouble last night.
What?
Oh, man. You started. Oh.
You started trouble last night.
I didn't even do anything.
You did.
Last night was heavy, boy. Last night was heavy. Oh, my God.
Oh, did I trigger Don and Don just went off?
Oh, no. It was just the whole midnight. No, I'm sorry. The Nubian Sumo.
No.
And when you said Chris Hansen, and you was like, off the rails, man. Forget off the rails. We was driving a train on the road.
But no, the look on his face, he did, man.
Oh, my goodness. Oh. That was just great, man. It was a great show.
I felt bad. We had
a nice little debate last night, too.
So that was one of those situations where you throw a grenade in the room, close the door, and just run? Because that's exactly what I did.
But
oh man,
we got an action-packed week coming up. Next show is on Tuesday night. We got some things to talk about DC wise, and I think that's the meat and potatoes of the show and anything else that comes up. Of course, we're gonna really look in on these conference tournaments. Because we're getting ready for that most wonderful time of the year, and I can't wait for it. I'm gonna tell you that now. Because when this plays,
not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday.
Yeah, next Tuesday. Ah. Sing it to me, Luther.
The ball is tipped, and there you are. You're running.
Oh boy!
See, this is the most wonderful time of the year.
So, teams that you like. How many times has your team won? And then you heard Luther play after your team won.
As far as my team?
Yeah, your team.
Never, because they started using that in like 2000.
Okay.
What were you trying to go there?
Well, I'm just saying, I know I've heard my team, like I've seen my team win, and then the song gets played. So my level of joy with that song might be different from yours. You know what I'm saying? That's all.
I get you. I like where you went there. All right, then. That's some dirty shit, bro. Dirty.
No, but hey, we can't get out of this room today.
This whole show gonna be muted. Hey. We don't own any rights to the music. That's why we only using snippets. And Fletcher Cox retires. Ooh.
But they prepared themselves for that.
Yeah.
When you layer talent, because now you got the two Georgia boys, Carter and the big fella, they're in the middle now. So Jordan Davis. So those are your tackles.
Jordan Davis scares me.
No, see Philly has done. Howie Roseman, the biggest injustice is is how people disrespect Howie Roseman's recent tenure. He has layered this team to a level. When you lose Kelsey, you got Cam Jurgens already sitting on the roster, who the last 2 years played between guard and guard and center. I mean, if I think about it in Washington terms, I would say a guy like a Riley McKenzie or Russ Grimm, where they played guard and center. And if your center was out, they came in and played with no problems. And that's the beauty of this layering of talent. Is they're not gonna have a far drop off when Cox retires.
Yeah. And you know? With seeing them bull rush. And he, that boy locked down 3 times and he had to keep jumping back because he was so strong.
Yeah.
Scary, man. But we got to get up out of here.
No. You're not doing this.
What are we not doing?
This is your day. This is a game and an opportunity that you want to talk about. And you're going to just let one end the show?
Well, we out of time. We up against it.
No. We got to make time for this. It's South Carolina versus LSU. In the women's SEC tournament final, you can't do that because you love women's basketball. I'm not gonna allow you to do that.
I do, and you have the SEC Player of the Year and Angel Reese going up against SEC Coach of the Year, should be, and the undefeated South Carolina Lady Gamecocks. This is gonna be must watch TV today.
They had to steal a game last night
on a last second three by a center from Brazil whose family was flown out to see her play ball for the first time. She hit her first career three last night to win the game and beat Tennessee.
So who you got?
Team of Destiny. I think South Carolina's Team of Destiny. Oh, Xavier said he got LSU.
I'm with Xavier. I'm going to take LSU just because you took just because. I don't even care about the background. Just because.
Well, I don't normally pick against South Carolina anyway because I've been a big Dawn Staley fan for almost, 30 years.
And then in the Big Ten, since we're still talking women's, I think you got Iowa versus Nebraska because Nebraska beat Maryland last night.
Yeah.
So it's Iowa versus Nebraska. You get the Caitlin Clark story again today. So today, just from a storyline standpoint in women's college basketball, this is probably one of the most unique and epic Sundays in women's college basketball history with that game, with this game. When we're talking about Caitlin Clark against Nebraska, we can see her win a Big Ten tournament, possibly. You see South Carolina or LSU, both are good options, win their tournament. So if you're a sports fan, if you like competition, if you like successful programs, you got options today.
And I'll say this, please join us on Tuesday. We'll talk a little women's basketball, see who wins these tournaments. And then we got a big issue where I think we're on opposite sides of the fence. Got to see where the boss BJ sits. He might sit in the middle of the fence on this one, but this is going to be good. I'm geeked up about Tuesday, period. So be sure to join us for that. Final thoughts, Midnight Rider, before we close this out.
So we normally do what you're cooking. I don't know what I'm. I think I'm down to just drumsticks. So I think I'm gonna do two because I got like the family pack. So I think what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna bake one section of the family pack, whatever I can fit in the pan. I'm just gonna do regular baked chicken, throw it in like a chicken broth with a bouillon cube. And all that stuff with the necessary accoutrement, that is your onions and your peppers. And then I'm gonna do a second pan and I'm gonna do that up the same way. But when we get to the end, I'm gonna drop some barbecue on it, barbecue sauce, and let it cook another like 20 minutes in the barbecue sauce. So you get that nice sticky barbecue sauce on it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I'm not doing anything fancy. Only thing I'm doing, I'm going to make me a steak, egg, and cheese sandwich. Sit down and watch some Walking Dead with Xavier. And enjoy this Sunday.
So are you going out and getting some Mulch's Grape?
No.
Okay.
I might send him to the store to get me a Everfresh juice or something like that, apple juice or something like that.
Okay.
So,
Everfresh. Oh, yeah. that's my group. We rock hard with the. This ain't the one. It's the other one. I rock the cranberry apple.
Mm.
My joint. Get that with the mango or whatever. We good to go.
More like see. That's the boss BJ talk. He talking about he love when the days get long. See, I don't like this time of the year. I love when it get dark at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, I'm with BJ on that. If it could be light longer and still cold, I'd be a happy man. But since I know I can't get both, I just
I liked it when I was a kid, but now that I'm an adult, I like when it get dark because everybody goes in the house and the roads are clear. So everybody's out of my way.
I got you.
So now, as a kid, yeah, oh yeah, I love this time of year because the days are longer. I need to stay outside longer.
Now somebody sent the flare gun up like last week because our neighborhood it was like a ghost town for the last couple of weeks outside on the block. And now it started getting nice again, and cats are back. Like you thought. Man, you thought we was on the yard or something back in the day, or just period, or back on the block. It was just everybody came out that one warm day. I forgot what day it was, but everybody and their mama was outside. So those days are back.
That
wind today. Whew, today, wind chill means something today.
Oh, yeah. Yesterday, too. It was cold and rainy yesterday. So, all
right, what you got, man?
That's about it. We got to get up out of here. Thank you for joining us. We will see you on Tuesday. I can't say we don't do no overtime because we did overtime today. Hey, this time the boss BJ can't be mad about it because he did it. So, until Tuesday, that's the boss BJ, Midnight Rider. I'm the big guy KG. That right there is Piccolo. We out of here.